Today, we're going to read just a few verses. I know you are familiar with Proverbs chapter number 31. You probably are. And we're going to read a few verses over there. I felt like this is the direction the Lord would have us to go today. And so we appreciate your prayers. We're going to begin reading in verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 10. This is not exclusively about mothers, but when you think about Proverbs chapter 31, you think about mothers, of course. And we're going to start reading there in verse number 10. We'll just read down a few verses. We'll pick somewhere to just jump off at. But the Bible said in verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." We'll stop right there. We're going to go down through the rest of those verses, but we'll stop. We'll have a word of prayer before we go any further. Father, I want to thank you for letting us be here today. And Lord, surely we need your help in everything that we do. And Lord, I pray and I ask for your help as we stand and try to preach your word today. I pray that God, the Holy Ghost of God, would just make it real easy. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that the message would come from thee. Give us great liberty to preach thy word. I pray for our moms. I pray for people that are traveling. Lord, we have some that are not here that are visiting with their mothers at other churches and have traveled. And so, Lord, we pray for them today. But I pray that it just be a good day. I pray that the Word of God would speak to our hearts. Lord, as always, we ask that you would change us, that we might be more like unto thee, that we might be the fathers, the mothers, the Christians, Lord, that you'd have us to be. We pray for our children, for their salvation. We realize, Lord, that our testimony before them has a great influence on their lives. And so, Lord, we ask for your help this morning. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. And especially we ask you to be with those that are sick and not able to be here. And Father, just have your way this morning. We'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, we'll go back. I know you're familiar with this, but let's just start out in verse number 10. The Bible said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And I never preach on Mother's Day that I don't think about. There was a lady in Idaho when I pastored out there, and her name is Sister Karen. Now, she's gone on to be with the Lord now a few years ago, maybe a couple of years ago, something like that. But I love Sister Karen. She had one of those contagious laughs, you know, and she is very wise. And I always enjoyed hearing what she had to say. And I know one time I went to church and it was Mother's Day and something was said maybe about what is going to preach on, or it might have been after the message. And she said something like this. She said, I was hoping you wouldn't preach on mothers. It always makes me feel bad. She said, "Why don't you preach on fathers and give us the day off?" And I think I done that one time here. I preached on fathers on Mother's Day and mothers on Father's Day, and that's the reason why. But I never think about this passage of Scripture, or never think about Mother's Day, that I don't think about Sister Karen. And over the past several years, I believe it would be true to say that I've heard more preaching out of Proverbs chapter number 31 at funerals than anywhere else. And so you know what I'm talking about. Somebody passes away, and a lady, and you can use Proverbs chapter number 31. Well, if you can use that, that's a great thing. That's a great blessing. That's a great honor to be able to use Proverbs chapter number 31 at somebody's funeral. But actually, Proverbs chapter 31 has nothing to do with death. Has nothing to do with dying. It's not mentioned. It doesn't come into the picture here. It's not for the dying. It's for the living. It's for us this morning that are here and breathing. And that's who Proverbs chapter number 31 is for. Now I want to try to preach this morning on the subject of the ideal woman. You know, the Proverbs chapter 31 woman, she's a 10. Have you ever heard that? You know, somebody saying, she's a 10. She's there in verse number 10. And the Bible says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. I mean, you young men this morning that are not married, if you find a Proverbs chapter 31 woman, you'd better bring her home and show her to mama real quick. And you'd better do everything you can to try to give her a ring and marry her, because I'm telling you, they're few and far between. And it's really something to aim for this morning when we think about what we find in Proverbs chapter number 31. Now, I know how some people are. They say, the Bible, you know, it's written by men, and that's just like a man. Let's say some of these things that we find here in Proverbs chapter number 31. But I want to show you something. If you look back in verse number 1 in Proverbs 31, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Do you know this is what a woman has to say about an ideal woman? So as you think about what the Bible, what God's Word has to say today, think about this. God used a woman to give a message about what a woman ought to be. So you can't say, well, yeah, a man would say that. That's what Lemuel's mom said about. Said, son, when you go to look for a woman, here's what you ought to look for. When you look for a wife, these are the things that you ought to be looking for, what a woman ought to be. The ideal woman comes from the perspective of a woman. And I want to emphasize that before I get started this morning. Let me point out five or six things here about this ideal woman. Number one, I want to say today, she is a partner. Now, the first thing that you learn about this woman, we find that, of course, she is worth very much, and we'll come back to that. But in verses 11 and 12, first thing we learn about her, she's a partner. The Bible said the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So the first thing that we learn about this lady here in Proverbs chapter number 31 is that she is married. Isn't that interesting? She's a partner. And it's not just the first thing we learn about her. It's one of the last things we learn about her in verse 28. It says, her husband also, and he praiseth her. So the first thing and the last thing it's mentioned about her is that it has to do with that she is married. She has a husband, and specifically here in these verses, not only is she married, but she is trustworthy. The Bible says the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is married. She is trustworthy. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, I've thought a lot about that. You know, just what does that mean? She will do him good and not evil. She is trustworthy. His heart trusts in her. She's going to do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, I come across an article, and I have held on to it for months now. It came out in December of last year. December of 2016, and it came out in a paper I received, the U.S. Journal, and there's an article in there by this lady. Her name is Kimberly Wagner. So again, I'm giving the perspective of a woman. And she wrote this article, and I think this is a good example of what it means. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And I started just to give you it's called 10 Things Your Husband Hates. I thought about just listing them, but I'm going to read some of these. This is a woman. She starts out in her article, and she says, "My husband and I spent many years in a miserable state. I'm ashamed to tell you that this list is a result of some of the ways I was guilty. Several, actually. I'd love for you to learn from the mistakes that I made over the years." And I'm going to give you these 10 things this morning, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing. She said, he hates when you throw him under the bus in public. Now, it's not talking about a literal bus. You'd hate that too. She said this, she said, "When you point out his faults, criticize or correct him, you make him feel like an idiot in front of others, and that's demeaning. Don't embarrass him in any way, especially in front of your children. Would you want him to do that to you?" Number one. Number two, she said, he hates when you remind him of his past failures. She said, it's something that was settled long ago, and you just can't seem to let it go. We've all failed. Let go of things that have already been worked through and settled. If they are unresolved issues that were never dealt with biblically, don't bring them up as a bully club, but take steps to graciously resolve them and move on. She said, number three, he hates when you unload on him as soon as he walks in the door. That I heard some response. That's almost an amen. Now, it's okay. There's about as many guys as there is gals, so if you men or you ladies want to say amen, that's all right. We've all dealt with these things. Preacher Melvin's the only brave soul here today. And she said he hates when you unload on him as soon as he walks in the door. One thing I can't stress to wives enough, hug your man when he comes in from work. Greet him with a kiss and some love. Give him an encouraging word and hold off on letting him know that the tough time you've had. He's had a long day. He's been hit with challenges that you haven't faced, and perhaps he fought battles you'll never know about. Listen to what she said. Be what makes it all worth coming home to. That's some pretty good advice. Number four, she said, he hates when you expect him to be just like your girlfriend. Amen. He's probably not a crafter, a scrapbooker, or a fan of spending 5 hours at the mall. Amen. You're getting the hang of it. An afternoon in the nail salon is probably not his idea of fun. He's not going to communicate with you like your best friend or want to know the complete story you want to tell, down to the very last detail. I use that at my house quite often, and I know people probably think you're awful, but even with Chloe, when she starts to tell something, I say, the short version. If you want me to hang in there with you, you got to give me the short version. You're going to lose me after about a minute, and I'm trying. The short version, that's all we can handle. She said, leave the girl stuff to your girlfriends. Amen. Number five, he hates when you expect him to read your mind. Amen. Just tell him. Don't play those mind games where you're thinking, if he really loved me, he'd know what I want him to fill in the blank. I wouldn't have to tell him. Your husband will be so grateful if you'll ditch the mind-reading game and just have some honest and gracious communication. Amen. I've said that many times before. I'm sorry, honey. I didn't have my mind readers on. You know, I'm trying to conserve energy. I just didn't read your mind. I'm sorry. We've all been there. Number six, he hates when you treat him like your child. Men know that they don't like, they don't think like we do. They know that it can be challenging to measure up to our expectations or desires. When they forget to close the lid on the toilet, it's not because they want to irritate us. When they take the long route because they forgot the right exit, it's not because they want to burn that extra gas. When we talk to our husbands in the same tone we would use with our children, it is disrespectful, and that's a sin. Amen. Number seven, he hates when you unload the big guns at 11 p.m. Don't wait until bedtime to bring up a topic of discussion that has the potential to put the two of you on opposite side of an all-out battle until near dawn. If you need to have a conversation that has the potential for major conflict or emotion, do it early in the evening or wait for a morning when he's home. Respect his need to get some rest. Amen. I'm refraining. Said number eight, he hates when you compare him to that perfect guy at church. Your husband may not seem as spiritual, may not treat you the same way you see that perfect guy treat his wife. He may not sound as knowledgeable or seem as interested in the sermon, but your husband probably has some worthy qualities that you may be missing because you're so focused on what he's not. Quit comparing him to other men. Number nine, he hates when you give him the silent treatment. Whenever you use the silent treatment to manipulate him, it harms both of you. The silent treatment is a hostile punishment tool. Don't make things more difficult by clamming up or stuffing your anger. If you're hurt or angry, first go to God and ask him to search your heart to see if the anger is righteous or if there is some offense that needs to be discussed. Talk it out with your husband. Be honest and humble in your communication. And remember, he's not your enemy. This lady, I'm going to invite her to church here for long. And I don't believe in woman preachers, but she's done a good job. Number 10, he hates when you use sex as a weapon. The gift of sexual intimacy is to be an expression of unselfish love. It's a physical demonstration of spiritual unity. Don't withhold yourself to punish your husband. And don't use your intimacy as a bribing technique. Honor your marriage bed as sacred and love your husband well. Have I sounded harsh today? I hope not. I just know how easy it is to slip into a disrespectful attitude that morphs into ugly treatment of those we love most. I'm challenging all of us today to set aside any of these things that are a common but destructive tendency in marriage, and they are not God glorifying. Now, the Proverbs 31 woman, the Bible said that she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And I tell you, I think that's 10 good examples of how you can do your husband good and not evil all the days of your life. Well, we could come up with some more probably. But the Bible says here, talks about that she's a partner. Now, I don't like using the word hate. She said 10 things your husband hates. I could add some things your husband doesn't like. Hey, some things I don't like. How about you? You know, the Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 9, it says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Well, I tell you what I don't like. I don't like brawling. I don't like fussing. I don't like kids fussing. I don't like I don't like teenagers arguing with mama or little ones arguing back and forth and all of that stuff. That drives me nuts. Proverbs 21:9, if you're taking notes. Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. That's what the Bible says. There's some things, I mean, you'd rather live outdoors People say, oh, he's in the doghouse. He might like it in the doghouse. It's better than being in the house with a bunch of fighting and fussing and griping and complaining going on. The doghouse might be a respite sometimes. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, before your husband comes home, he shouldn't have to call ahead to test the waters. He shouldn't have to call ahead to see if it's safe to come on. I'll tell you why a lot of guys stay out all kinds of hours because it's not pleasant to come home. Is it pleasant to come home to your home? Oh, he's gone all the time. He's doing this. He's doing that. Maybe it's not fun to come home. Maybe it's not something that he dreads. Because you don't know what he's going to walk into when he gets there. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Let me tell you, ladies, something this morning. It's the first thing it says about her, the heart of her husband. One of the last things it says about her husband also, and he praiseth her. You're going to be a wife over a normal course of time. You're going to be a wife far longer than you're going to be a mother that has children at home. You better take care of him. You better make him a priority in your life. You're going to turn around twice and you think now with little children and you're chasing them around and you think that's just going to last forever. No, sir, that's going to fly by. And then it's going to be you and him. What are you going to do? You better do him good all the days. And I know it goes both ways. Father's Day's coming. It's Mother's Day. She's a partner. Number two, she is productive. Look at verse 13 through verse 15. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Number two, she is productive. You know what you have in verses 13, 14, and 15? She works. She's not lazy. Verse 13, the Bible said she worketh willingly with her hands. Next of all, not only she works, she brings food home. Now to us that means that she goes to the grocery store and she brings it home. And she might be like Sister Linda. She has a chauffeur and Brother Finley takes her to the grocery store, but they bring it back home. I've seen them. Amen. That's what it says in verse 14. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. And then in verse number 15, she gets up before daylight and makes breakfast before everybody starts their day. Is that not what that says? She considereth she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now that's what that translates to. I might need an escort getting out of church this morning. But I'm telling you, that's what a woman said, an ideal woman ought to be. That's what she does. That's why she's a virtuous woman. That's why her price is far above rubies. When we look at these verses this morning, she's productive. It means this, she's capable. Hey, if you can't go to the grocery store and write a balance a checkbook and you don't know how to drive around town, if you can't do some basic things in life, you don't need to be talking about getting married. You need to be able to do some basic cooking and get some supplies together and know how to make some meals. And, you know, McDonald's is all right when you're dating, but when you get married, that gets old real fast. You need to eat at home, save some money. You need to learn to manage a household and to be able to do some things. This woman, she's not a slave. She's not... unappreciated. She's very much appreciated because she's so productive. She's so capable. She's so intelligent. She's so hardworking. Man, she's worth something. It's not throwing off on her. It's telling about how great she is. And she's Wonder Woman before Wonder Woman was ever thought of. She's not sitting at home eating Doritos, watching soap operas all day long, waiting on her husband's direct deposit to hit the bank so she can go out to the mall and buy a bunch of stuff she don't need and keep them in perpetual debt forever and ever. It's not the kind of woman we're talking about. She is a contributor. She is an asset. She is a household manager. I mean, she's worth something. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, the Bible says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. That's at the top. That's what makes him great, if there's any greatness about him. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. Proverbs 12:4. I know some of you are taking notes. She's productive. She's a partner. She's proactive, number three. That means she takes the initiative to do things that need to get done. She is proactive in several ways in these next verses we look to. In verse number 16, the Bible says, we can see here, she is proactive with her hands. She considereth a field and buyeth it. Man, she's got her real estate license. I'm not saying you ought to go out and get you, but she make decisions. She knows when she finds a good bargain. She didn't run and ask her husband. He knows she's not going to do him wrong. His heart doth safely trust in her. If she said, honey, what do you think about buying this field? He'd say, whatever you think, I trust you. I trust your judgment. There's a lot of times in my life, growing up as a married man, I wish Kim would have made more known what she thought about some things. Not just put it all off on me. If you can get her involved in what you're thinking about doing, you can split the blame 50-50. If she just says whatever you think, you know, then when it goes bad, it's all going to be your fault. She knows she's capable, I'm telling you. She's good at this stuff. She considereth a field and buyeth it. She knoweth a good value when she sees it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She knows how to do some things. It always makes me laugh when people talk about, oh, if the economy goes bad, oh, if there was a natural catastrophe, if something happened, well, I'd plant a garden. You don't know, you wouldn't know how to. You think them seeds on the top of hamburger buns will grow something. You don't just grow a garden in a week. I'm telling you, there's an art. You got to know some things. She knows some things. Could you go out here and plant a vineyard? There's a lot to it. And there's a reason she's planting a vineyard. And she knows how to grow a vineyard. She knows how to grow a garden. She knows how to take care of food. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Now, I don't think she went to the gym. She's strong. She was strong because she knew how to work. And if more of us knew how to work and applied work in our lives, we wouldn't be as weak as we are. I know a few years ago when Abigail was home, she's talking about, I think it was back before she got married. And you know, when girls are going to get married, they want to look their best. They want to work out and all that stuff. I said, I've got a workout for you. Come here with me. Went out to the tool shed and where I keep all my garden tools, and I pulled a long instrument out of there. It's crooked on the end like this. I said, this is a hoe. And if you go out there in that rocky garden for about 30 minutes every day and you go between them plants and you get done and feel right here and feel if you just didn't get a good ab workout, you'll have a six-pack in no time. and be a blessing all at the same time. She knows how to do some things. She is proactive with her hands. She is proactive with her hours. Look in verse number 18 and verse 19. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Now she stayed up late. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. That means she knows how to make clothes. I'm not saying everybody ought to learn how to make clothes, but it'd sure be a blessing if you'd know how to hem a pair of pants or be able to fix a hole in something. Know how to do a little something. She is proactive with her hours. She is staying up late at night. Her candle goeth not out by night. But let me tell you something. As she is staying up late, it is not to be on Facebook, and it's not to be a time waster. There's a lot of time wasting goes on in our day and time. She uses her time. She uses her hands wisely. You think, you know, all of us, here's how we are. We all think that the next generation coming up, boy, they're just not like our generation. You think this generation is bad? You wait till the generation gets grown that has had to stand in line behind a phone to talk to their mama. It's one of my pet peeves. I can't stand that. Little youngin trying to get his mom's attention, and there she's got her head so stuck in a phone, and she's closed them out, and they're standing there, and they need something, and she's got to post something. She's got to reply to a text message. She's got to invest time in somebody that's not there with her and neglect those that are there with her. That ought to upset us. That upset. If you ain't going to talk to me, I'm not talking to you. I'm going on down the road. I got better things to do. Oh, I didn't hear what you said. I'll tell you why I didn't hear what they said. Because you got your head stuck in a phone. You're not paying no attention. You're trying to impress somebody that really don't care what's going on in your life, just to be honest. And if you think all them friends is really your friends, you're fooling yourself. I hope they've got their own lives to live. You wait till that generation grows up, and you think the problem today is, they might put mama in the nursing home. Well, as time goes on, they just gonna skip the nursing home part. You know, that's already happening in other countries. I heard about a case just very recently in Holland. And grandma was in the nursing home, and she had an end-of-life directive, and the kids come along, and the mom lost her mind, and she was having some trouble, and the kids come along, and they said, "Well, I don't think mama would want to live like that." And they put her to death. Doctors come in, court ordered, and the person that they put to death knew enough to know what was going on and protested. And they said, "Oh, she don't know what she's talking about. She wouldn't want to live like that." They just euthanized her. Put her down like a dog. You think that won't happen? Write it down in your margin of your Bible. And if the Lord don't come in 20 or 40 years, you see if that very thing does not begin to happen in our country. Because that crowd that you that grows up and you didn't have no time for them when they was little and needed you, you think they're going to take care of you when you're old and you need them? So, "Oh, mama wouldn't want to live like that. She'd be much happier dead. And then we won't have to fool with her." That'll happen. I believe that with all of my heart. She's not a... I think I got off track a little bit. But that's all right. She's proactive with her hours. She is proactive with her heart. Look in verse number 20. The Bible said, "She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." Years ago, preacher Carol Fletcher, and some of you remember him, and I heard a message he preached, and he preached on the home, and he said the daddy is the head of the home, and the mama is the heart of the home, and the child is the hope of the home. Well, that's a good message right there. Mama's the heart. Mamas, listen to me. You're the heart. There's a lot of things wouldn't get done, but if mama didn't have the heart she's got. Do you know why kids always run to mama? Because she's got a heart. Mama says, honey, what do you want for breakfast? Daddy says, if you want something to eat, you better get in here. It's on the table. And you better eat it, because when we get down the road and you get hungry, that's just too bad. You should have eaten your breakfast. Starve. Starve. My dad's a truck driver, and my brother's here this morning. He'll tell you it's right. Amen. Dad would say, when we was going on a trip, he'd say, you better go to the bathroom. We ain't stopping. You better unload before we go. And you could be sweating, cold drops of sweat dripping off your nose, and we ain't stopping. You learn to go. You better go every chance you get. But mama, she'd pull off in the bad part of town, guard the door while you went so you wouldn't suffer. Mama's got a heart. Dad don't have no heart. Now I'm talking about me. But mom, go to mom. Mom, she'll do anything for youngins, and they very, very few times appreciate it and treat her like she ought to be treated. Run over, treat her like a dog. Talk about her behind her back. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. That's sad. Because mom's got a heart. But she clean you up when you was a little baby. Take care of you if you're uncomfortable. Take you to the doctor. All that kind of stuff. Wipe your mess up, clean your vomit off the floor in the middle of the night, change your bed where you wet the bed and all that kind of stuff. Stuff you don't even remember. Because mama's got a heart. Oh, if it wasn't for mama's heart, this world would be in a mess. You think it's bad? Take mama's away. I'd appreciate your mama. She's proactive. She's got a heart. There's a lot of things in church wouldn't get done if it wasn't for the ladies. Flyers, cards, meals. That's mama. That's women. I know not all women are mamas, but all women's got a heart better than a man most of the time. We appreciate you this morning. She's great, buddy. She's worth something. She's proactive. Number four, she's picky. Look at verse number 21, 22. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's picky. Is that not right? She is picky. Look around this morning. Everybody looks pretty good. I mean, everybody's got their Mother's Day best on, and the kids' hair's all combed, and your clothes match, and you look decent this morning. You better thank Mama. Better thank Mama. She's the only one that knows what matches. If your hair's not right, don't give her any lip. If it's not suitable for her, it's just not suitable. Just trust her judgment, you young ladies, you young men. Just trust mom's judgment at this time in your life. If she says, go comb your hair, don't say, I just combed it. Go comb it again till you get it right. Just, you didn't do something right, just go do it again. Okay? She's picky. Just understand that and live with it. If she says your clothes don't match, if your dress is too short, if your pants is too short, just if she says it, that's the law. Okay? Just go with it. Your life will be so much better if you'll just learn to listen. She's the one that makes all the fashion decisions in the home, and just that's the way it is. That's in the Bible. She's picky. God made her that way. All her household is wearing the very best she can provide for. That's what's going on in these verses. She's picky. Verse number 23, her husband also is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Her husband goes down there to do his business, and I'm telling you, his tunic is ironed to a T. And he's got a matching girdle, and I mean, he just looks like Mr. GQ. And when he walks in the city council, they all say, "Oh, brother Eli, man, you always look so sharp." He didn't do that. His wife done that. Her husband is known in the gates. You know, if you could have seen him 15 minutes before that, he had a straw hat on and coveralls and holes in them and had food in his teeth. But before he went out the door, she fixed him all up, made him look presentable so he could go do his work. She done that. He didn't do that. She done that. She is picky with the way her family looks and is presented to the world. In verse number 24, the Bible said, "She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant." She is so proficient with her hands that she's got a little business on the side. She makes clothes and sells it. She's picky with her business. She's picky with her family. In verse number 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She is morally picky. Strength and honor are her clothing. What is she known for? She's a wise woman. She's a good woman. She's a godly woman. You don't have to worry about her out here doing something she ought not to be doing. Strength and honor are her clothing. She's got some morals. She's got some standards about her. In verse number 25 it says, "And she shall rejoice in time to come." She's picky with her children. She's got high expectations for her children. She's looking out there in the future and she said, "One of these days I'm going to get rid of these snotty-nosed brats and I'm going to make something out of them. And they're going to marry and they're going to be profitable in society and they're going to have good families and grandchildren." And that's her expectation. She shall rejoice in time to come, the Bible says. She's loving them right. She's teaching them right. Verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." She's picky about her life. She's picky about her words. You ought to underline that in your Bible. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. See, adults, not just ladies, parents, fathers, mothers. You've got the heart of your children in your hands. And through what you say and the way you act and live your life, you can either crush it or you can lift it up. A parent is the closest thing a child will ever know to God until they get saved. You are to be a God-like model in your words and in your actions. Your goal and aim is to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that to happen, they've got to see Jesus in you. Wisdom, the law of kindness. I mean, you hear people say, "Well, I never heard her say a bad thing about anybody." That's this woman right here. She's picky about her words. She's picky about her example in verse 27. "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." She just doesn't sit around wasting time doing nothing. Last of all, and I'm going to go back to verse number 10, she is precious. It says in verse number 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above Ruby, she's precious. She's worth something. She's worth a lot. You can't just go out and buy something like that. She is above the value of things you can buy in this world. That's what that's teaching us. I don't know how much rubies are worth, but you know, if you went and bought a Rolex watch, it'd cost you $28,000, something like that, more than that. Go out and buy a big set of jewelry, diamonds, pearls, $50,000. No, she's worth more than that. That's what the Bible is teaching her. Her price is far above rubies. Verse 28, it says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Her children brag on her. Her husband praises her. Do you know that's not always the case? Sometimes mom might pass away. You can't read Proverbs chapter 31. You know, we say, well, you know, mom, she was just mom. That's a nice way of saying she wasn't Proverbs 31. She was something else. She's mom, and we love her. She wasn't Proverbs 31. Not everybody is Proverbs 31. But her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. What's that saying in these verses? She's the best. She's the best of the best. There's nobody like her. Verse 30, the Bible says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You young men, you'd better look for more than a pretty face. Oh, they some pretty faces. But some of these pretty faces out here, they're not worth taking to McDonald's and just limiting to the dollar meal. There's some of them, if you pursue that, you've already wasted too much time and too much money. Get you a Proverbs 31 woman. And I know it goes the same for guys. Some of them's not worth wasting time and money on either. But if you get you a woman that fears the Lord, she will always be beautiful. I'm talking about saved, full of the Holy Ghost, loves God. She will just get more and more prettier, if that's proper English. As time goes on, she'll be more beautiful when she's old than when you met her. You say, is that true, preacher? It sure is. It sure is. Beauty is vain. I mean, what you see and, you know, guys go crazy after. Wash all that stuff off of her face and you'd be, oh my goodness. You may be surprised. But you get a woman that fears the Lord, her beauty will always remain. And when she's an old lady and you're an old man and you're all wrinkled up and bent over and can't hardly even get along, you'll look at her and say, man, she's hot. She's the best thing it ever was. She's prettier now than the day I met her. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, that doesn't wash off and that doesn't go away. There's just an inward beauty. But there's some that are pretty on the outside. But if you marry just for that, you may wish you'd never seen that pretty face. That can become the ugliest thing you ever seen in your whole life. Fangs and horns. And you'll say, I can't believe I ever saw anything in her. I'd just about rather die than go back and see that one more time. I'm telling you. I'm telling you the truth. You'd better get a good one, or your life is going to be miserable all the days of your life. She, though, is precious. Verse number 1 said that this was the prophecy that his mother taught him. That's the ideal woman from a woman's perspective. Don't be angry at me over anything I said. If you want to be mad about anything I've said, be mad at the Bible, be mad at God, but don't be mad at me. But if you're mad at the Bible and mad at the Lord, you need to get right with God. That's what the Bible says. I don't think I preached anything this morning outside of the book. Well, I tell you, that's a high and holy standard. Ladies, we need you. Thank God for you. You are precious. You are valuable. I've said many, many times, boy, I don't know what I'd do without Kim. I mean, it's like taking the lug nuts off the wheels. Things would fall all to pieces. Precious, valuable, an asset. Great. When the ladies in a society go bad, that society's just about gone. Boy, years ago, I mean, men have always had foul mouths and talk bad. Used to, you'd never see a lady talk like that, but look around today. Cussing, foul mouth, trying to be like one of the guys. Sad state of affairs. Well, we need godly ladies. There's nothing better than a good woman, and there's nothing worse than a bad one. That's a lot to look up to, I know that. I'll try to remember and return the favor on Father's Day. If the Lord don't come or one of you don't shoot me. But that's what the Bible says. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.